good to see each one. We see some new faces. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Matthew 16, verse number 26. Book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark, speaking of the same thing, said in verse number 36 of the 8th chapter, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Luke put it like this in the 9th chapter, verse number 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? My message comes in the form of a question. Only you can answer that question. Will you lose your soul? There's a sense in which your soul is already lost if you're not saved. Your soul is already lost. But there's a final loss that takes place in the future. The soul may be lost by trying to gain this old world. Everything has value. Often people say, everything I have is for sale. I pray that does not include your soul. I pray to God that your soul is not for sale. Amen. The devil is after your soul. Someone said, why talk like this? Why preach like this? To help everyone recognize the value of the soul. And there's not anything in this world worth sacrificing your soul for. There's nothing the devil can offer you to put in front of you that would be worth you losing your soul. Does a man have a soul? Yes. The Bible teaches that man exists after he dies. Yes, in the teachings of Jesus, men are both body and soul. Listen to what our Savior said in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter and verse number 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Did you hear that? Both soul and body. If you're a child of God, a man could kill your physical body, but your soul will live on. Amen. And if you got killed as a sinner, somebody killed your body, your soul also will live on in a lost eternity, in a place that the Bible calls hell. Friend, we read about the story of Lazarus and the rich man, the Bible says in Luke 16, 21, but it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, but in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He died. They took his body and put it in the ground. But the Bible says, while all that was going on, he lifted his eyes in hell, being tormented in that flame. Many years ago, I was holding a revival over in Medina, Ohio, and I was out at the van, and a couple individuals walked by. They were Jehovah's Witnesses, and they wanted to talk to me. Well, I like to talk to them. I don't slam the door in their face. I like to talk to them because they have a soul also. And I've known of a few of them to get saved. Isn't that wonderful? And so they wanted to talk about this, and then they wanted to talk about hell. And they was trying to convince me that the grave was hell. And I said to those individuals, I said, listen, the Bible says that the rich man died and in hell he lift up his eyes, being the torment. And they said, yeah, that was in the grave. But I said, listen, he said if his brothers would repent, they could keep from coming to the place where he was. If his brothers had repented, it would not have kept them out of the grave. They were still going to die, because it's appointed unto man was to die, and after this the judgment. But he was in another place. He just wasn't in the grave. Amen. He woke up in a place that's called hell. Amen. And he was suffering the torments of hell, and he began to beg for mercy. Amen. He may have never begged for mercy in his entire life, because he was a rich man. The Bible says he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he had been faring sumptuously every day. But friend, when he lifted his eyes in hell, when he lifted his eyes in torment, in misery, he began to beg for God to have mercy on him. And he saw Lazarus, and he said, let Lazarus come to me. But before he comes, let him just dip the tip of his finger in water and bring me that finger and touch it to the end of my tongue, because I am tormented in this flame. You know what happened to him? He lost his soul. And once your soul is lost, amen, at the end of your life, when you die, or when Christ comes back for his church, once you lose your soul, you can never regain it again. That's why he said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, I tell you, when you wake up in a lost eternity and able to look back in this life, you know what, friend? Whatever's keeping you from getting saved, you would give that in exchange. Amen. You would give up those things. You might not give them up this morning, but friend, when you face the darkness of hell and the misery of hell, you'll look back to this life. Oh, that I would have just got saved, if I would just live for God. But my friend, it will be too late. The thief on the cross in Luke 23, verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what? God, when he sees someone that wants to be saved, he sees someone that wants forgiveness, amen, you don't have to prize his fist open, amen, you don't have to plead and beg. When a person means business with God, God will mean business with them. Amen. If you really want to get saved, it's not complicated. Now, if you're not sure, you don't want to give up sin, if you're wanting to hold on to sin of any kind and still be saved, you're not going to get saved that way. Amen. Getting saved is turning from sin. Amen. Repentance is more than a change of mind. It's more than a change of heart. It's a change of action. And people that tell you, yeah, I got saved, I'm a born-again Christian, but they still live the same way, they still act the same way, they got slipped a counterfeit. Amen. They don't have the real thing. When you get the real thing, you'll walk different. You'll talk different. You'll dress different. Amen. It'll be altogether different than it once was, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, it don't matter who you are and where you've been, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. That's what's happened to all of us that's saved. Amen. We didn't change ourselves. We didn't turn over a new leaf and try to do better, but God changed us. Amen. Thank God. He'll give you the power to be what you need to be. Someone said, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. No, you can't. Amen. But once you get saved and you really sell out and bled all here on the altar, amen, he'll give you the power to do what you need to do, to live the way that you ought to live. Because the Bible says in St. John, the first chapter, amen, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I didn't have the power to become the son of God. I didn't have the power to give up the sin that was in my life. But I found out that I meant business with God. He meant business with me. Amen. And the Bible lets us know also in the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse number 4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yes, several times before I got saved, I said, I'm going to quit these things. I'm going to start doing different. I tried to turn over a new leaf. And I said, I can do this, but I couldn't do it. You know why? Because I didn't have the greater one on the inside. And it's the same way with you. Amen. It's more than just trying to reform your life. It's more than just trying to do better. Amen. It's selling out. It's repentance. Giving God everything. And I promise you, if you give God everything and you get the Holy Spirit on the inside, he's greater than the flesh. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than the temptations that you might face. Amen. The Apostle Paul believed there's a part of man that can be out of the body. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:3, and I knew such a man. Were in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Amen. One can be dead and yet still be with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? When we die, as the children of God, we're still with Christ. Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Saints of God, there's a place that's far better than this old world. Amen. I'm glad I know I'm on my way. It's far better to be with Christ. But it's far worse to leave this world unprepared to meet God and wake up in the devil's hell. All the wealth and the power that one might gain is not worth the price of one soul. Whatever it might be that you're finding pleasure in out in sin. And I'm not gonna lie to sinners. I know better than to tell a sinner, now listen, you can't find no pleasure in sin. Yeah, you can find pleasure in sin. There are some pleasures out there in sin, but that's not the end of the story. The pleasures of sin never has a pleasant ending. Amen. Never. It never has. And it never will. The pleasures of sin does not have a pleasant ending. Indeed, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We must remember the value of the soul. Friend, here this morning, you need to value your soul even more than life. Your soul is more valuable than life. You know why? Because your soul is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at not at the things that are seen, but that which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. James put it like this in the 4th chapter, verse number 14. He also asked the question. And you know what that question was? For what is your life? That's a good question, isn't it? This morning I asked you, what is your life? But he answered the question for you. Yes. It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Now what I want to know is, are you a good businessman or are you a bad businessman? Which is it? One or the other. You're either a good businessman or you're a bad businessman. He said, this life is just a vapor. We're just down here for a little while. Many scriptures will back that up. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Compared to eternity, we're just here for a few days. We're not here long. When you look at life, the span of your life, and then compare that to eternity, about that much. It's all your life is, about that long. So what are you going to do? Give up that which is ungodly? Give up the sin for a little while and suffer throughout eternity? If you're willing to do that, you're a bad businessman. Amen. I'm not very smart, I'll tell you. You can tell by my preaching. I'm not too smart, but I got that figured out. I figured that out when I was 18 years old. Amen. That I would rather suffer the afflictions with the people of God for a season. Than to enjoy sin for a season. I'd rather suffer whatever I gotta go through in this life to make heaven my home than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for just a little time, then lose my soul for eternity. See, what I want to ask you, are you willing to lose your soul over those little things, over the sin in your life? I tell you, if you was a wise businessman here this morning, you'd give up every sin. Amen. You might say, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but by the grace of God, I'm done with sin. Amen. Thank God for salvation. Amen. And somebody said, well, you said, suffer the afflictions of the people of God, then to joy sin. You mean there's hard times? Yeah, there's some hard places we got to go through, but so it is with the sinner. But you see, we got God on our side. When I go through a hard place, God's right there. He's my Father. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's good news, isn't it? Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for salvation. In fact, friend, I'm enjoying myself. I've tried the road of sin. I found that the prospects all deceive. I like this way of living. Amen. It's the best life. See, if you've never been saved, you don't know. You've never been on this side. You've never had a real experience with God. You can't make that judgment. But I've been where you are. Yes. I was once a lost sinner. I was once bound by the habits of life. There was a time in my life I was deep, deep in sin. And I don't even like to talk about it. I don't get up and tell, oh, I went and did. No, I don't like to talk about it. I'm ashamed of the things. But oh, when God saved me, changed my life, I've never been the same. Praise God. It was when I'm 18 years old and I'm 61 and I haven't got over it all these years. I haven't got over it yet. I don't believe I ever will. Which is more valuable, the body or the soul? Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. All the way back to the Genesis, book of Genesis, the second chapter, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed in his nostrils, and he became what? A living soul. You have a living soul within you. God put a living soul within you. And that soul that God put within you, it's going to be alive a million years from right now. 10 million years from now. That soul that God put within you, it'll still be alive. Where's it going to be? Will that soul be in heaven or hell? One of those places is where that soul is going to be. Somebody said, I don't believe in hell. It'll be as hot for you when you get there as you believed in it all your life. So I don't think that place like that exists. Not believing the hell will not cool it off 1 degree for you. It don't change nothing what you believe and what you don't believe. You might have your own religion. Amen. A lot of folks got their own religion. And here's what I believe. They said that God's too good to send sinners to hell. Let me tell you, friend, you choose to go to hell. God said, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Let me tell you, every one of us that's in this building, we are going to choose our eternal destiny. You might make the choice this morning. You're going to choose where you'll be throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Oh, my friend, God has laid at our doorstep the awful responsibility of choosing our destiny. Somebody said, I'll do what I want to do. Yes, God has given you the freedom, the liberty to make choices in life. You can do pretty much what you want to do. You can choose sin if that's what you want to do. But there's consequences of choosing sin. And you know what they are? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Amen. The wages of sin is death. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's what the Bible says. The cost of the soul. Isaiah 59:2 said, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Do you know that God does not hear a sinner's prayer? The only prayer that God hears from the sinner is the one that they come and they pray for salvation. We're living in a time when all kinds of wicked people living in open rebellion and contrary to the word of God, they tell, we're praying for you. Everybody's praying for you. No matter how they live, how deep they are in the sin, well, we want you to know we're praying for you. Your prayers don't go anywhere if you're not saved. The Bible says God does not hear. The Bible says Psalms 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It doesn't matter how long you cry, how long you pray, amen, and how earnest you might be. If you just want God to, God don't hear your prayers. He might hear your mom's prayers. He might hear your dad's prayers. He might hear your companion's prayer. He might hear the saints' prayers. They might be praying for you, but God does not hear your prayers. Amen. You got to be saved for God to hear your prayers. The Bible says if you abide in him, his words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Yes, my friend, it's a serious thing to think about the soul and what it cost to redeem it. Now, I don't understand how my soul could be so valuable. You say it's my soul is more valuable than anything. That's right. You know why it's valuable? Because of what it costs to redeem it. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received from your fathers with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. Without spot. That's why, my friend, that your soul is so valuable, because what it cost to redeem it. And though you may never be saved, though you may turn and walk out of here and never become a Christian, Christ still paid the price that you could be saved. The Bible said that he, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. That means when Christ hung on the cross, he had you in mind individually. He died for every man. He died that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. So what are you going to do about it? God did not love the world because they was worth loving. You know, I wasn't worth loving. And you are not worth loving. Amen. None of us was worth loving. God did not love the world because they was worth loving. He loved it because it's his nature to love. What will one give in exchange for his soul? The Bible teaches the soul is more valuable than anything in the whole world. Yet many people sell their souls for such petty bargains. Petty bargains. They sell their soul. Oh, we could go down the list of the petty things that people sell their soul for. And I've said before and I'll say again, most people's going to lose their soul not because there were 25 sins that they wouldn't give up. A lot of folks going to lose their soul because there was one sin they wasn't willing to give up. Maybe one or two things that stood out in their mind. They lose their soul. That's the way it was with the young man that came to Jesus. He was a rich young ruler, and he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It sounded like he was interested. Yeah, it sounded like to me he was ready to get saved. Amen. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him about the commandments. And when he found out what Christ said, it seemed like he got pretty excited. He said, Lord, I've done every one of these from my youth up. What lack I yet? If that's all there would have been to it, what Jesus said, he was ready to join. He is ready to go. But guess what? Jesus said, you lack one thing. And I believe there's people right here in this service this morning. There's one thing standing in your way. One thing. And that one thing, when he found out what it was, the Bible says he went away sorrowful. You know why? Because he did not want to give up that one thing. Many services that I've been in down through the years, God's Holy Spirit came down in a great way. It seemed like that God himself was right there and dealing with hearts, and God was convicting souls and drawing them, but they beat back the hand that was reaching down to rescue them because there was one sin that they were not willing to give up. I asked you, don't answer me out loud, but what is the thing that's holding you back? What is the sin that's got you bound to the degree you won't turn your heart and life over to God? I ask you, is it worth losing your soul and eternity for? Is that one sin worth being lost throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity? No sin is worth being lost throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Someone said, well, why don't you just tell people about getting saved and don't tell them? They got to give up sin, because I got to be honest with you. Jesus said, sit down and count the cost before you start. And what is the cost? It don't cost money, but it cost every known sin in your life. Are you willing to turn from sin? If you're willing to turn from sin, God is ready to do business with you. What would a man give in exchange for a soul? He's talking about a transaction. He's talking about bartering one thing for something else. Barter means to trade, to exchange one commodity for another. It means to trade your soul for something else. What is it that is so valuable to you that you are actually willing to give your soul to be lost eternally for that one thing? What could be so valuable that you would be willing to give your soul in exchange for that one thing? That's pretty sad, isn't it? If the devil came up to you in the service and he said, here, sign this contract. All you got to do is just give me your soul and I'll give you the world. The world's mine. Just sign your soul over to me. I'll give you the whole world. If you take him up on it, you're a bad businessman, because your soul is worth more than this whole world. You cannot afford to lose your soul, for if you ever lose your soul, you've lost everything. The faithful will be given a place of eternal rest. The sinner will go to a place of eternal punishment. Bible says the place where the wicked will be tormented day and night. It's where you will bemoan your great foolishness of having sold your soul for such petty little things. Dear friends and brethren, you do not have to lose your soul. Humbly submit yourself to the will of God. Let God guide you. let no man beguile you. By God's help, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome the temptations of this life. God can help you to live a victorious life. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Father in heaven, we pray for those here this morning.